All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Sunday morning. For the first time today, we are live on YouTube and on Band. We are branching out to try to reach more people. And hopefully everything will work this morning. Praise God. All right, let me get this on the screen here. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Glory be to Jesus. All right, good morning. Can y'all believe that we're already in February? It's hard to believe the way that time is moving so fast. All right, let's see here. There we go. We're opening it up to Band and to YouTube. Good morning. Now, you will not see me this morning because I tried to, but for some reason, the camera is not wanting to work this morning. And I don't know why, but I tried. I pray everybody's doing well out there. Good morning. Good morning. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now, I want to tell you guys that the Bible College is going really good. The first class is almost finished. They've got one more week to go in the identity class. And it's very hard because it's like going through surgery, you know, because it is identity. So it's about who you are in Christ. So they have had to do some real soul searching in their life. And it's pretty cool, you know, because I think most everybody in that class is over the age of 50, or at least their 40s, you know. And, so they have to, you know, really be honest before God about their life and their, you know, their past and get it all out there to the Lord. And it works out really good because out of the 20 that started that class, I've only lost two. So I'm very happy about it. And, so they've only got 1 week left. Now, the other class starts on Tuesday, and this is part two to identity class. They will go for a month, and then they will merge with the first class, and they will become one in March, and they will study the tabernacle together and then go into the third one, which is the logos, symbols, and things like that. So for some reason, I can't get Band going, so we'll just stick with YouTube and with... So you guys, if you want to go on YouTube and chat together, you can. Or in here on the private prayer call where we meet every Sunday morning at 7:30. Okay. So I just want to say once again, good morning, good morning. Pastor has really had it on his heart to preach about being a soldier. And we know that we're all headed into a very real battle. I mean, because we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood, right? It's with the principalities and the powers of the air. So we are in a war, you know, a very real war. And so is our families. And we've been learning lately that the tactics, you know, of the... you know, the Lord, how he wants us to fight in this battle. And one of the biggest keys is worship. It's praise and worship. You know, worshiping your God and knowing who he is and trusting in Him is a battle tactic, because you're operating in faith and not in fear. Okay, so I've got a few songs that I want to sing this morning. Let me get this graphic off the screen, and I've got the words over here on the screen. So, like I said, this morning we are on YouTube. If you want to go on YouTube and chat with your friends, or we are in our private prayer call line, either one. The good thing about the prayer call is you can just call in on your phone, and, you know, it's a lot more convenient type of deal. But we changed our times of our services to 7:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, so that, you know, we encourage people, if they can find a local church that they can trust, to be able to go to a local church where you can have fellowship, because everybody needs loving. I mean, you know, if you was near us, we would love to have you here, you know, type of deal. But until then, you can, you know, spend a couple hours with us and then go to church and, you know, hopefully be able to have fellowship there. But anyway, well, let's go ahead and pray and get started, and then we will sing the song. The first one we're going to sing this morning is called How Great Is Our God. Okay, here we go. Wait, before I say this, I want to say that one of the reasons that I believe that my internet has been better is because I got a notice that ViaSat satellites, which is what I have, made a contract with somebody. I can't remember who it is, the government or something, but they lower their satellites. They've lowered them. So we know what it's for surveillance and monitoring and all that, but I think that's really helped with the quality of what I've had lately. So, you know, praise God for that. At least, you know, on this part. Anyway, Brian, let's go ahead and pray. Oh, and another thing I want to say before we get started on worship is fasting. How is everybody doing? We've only got a week left. I mean, good job, guys, for those of you that stuck it out the past 30 days, 30-something days, and you've stuck it out, and we've only got a week left. So I really encourage you to really press in this week, and because we're going to really need this consecration time with the Lord as we move forward in 2025 with all of the evil agendas that we know is ahead, you know, type of deal. So I just want to say that I'm very proud of you guys. And I know Pastor and I, we are still plowing forward. We are still on it. And we're very excited to see what the Lord is going to do, since we have all given Him our first fruits of the year. That's what this is for. You give Him the first fruits. Okay. So I also want to thank you guys for being with me yesterday on that 9-hour marathon. That was a lot of fun. We actually went 8.5 hours before I collapsed. I was like, I am done, people. I got to go. But really thank you guys for being with me. We was able to, you know, learn a lot and whatnot. But today we're learning about the Lord. So let's give Him our all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You so much for the opportunity to be together as a family, Lord. I thank You for everybody that's here with us. Lord, as our Bible college class right now is studying the Clarion Call to Unity book. This is our unity. When we gather, Lord, in Your name, You are highly lifted up, And we're gathered for the cause of loving you, Lord. And so we pray, Lord, that while we sing this morning, that you would amplify our voices in heaven. Let all of heaven bear witness with our worship and our sacrifice of praise today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you guys that Brock's book, The Heaven Expression, you know, we learned that, you know, our loved ones in heaven are still getting reports back on how you're doing. And, you know, so I can only imagine that when we sing to the Lord, how they're getting reports of our worship. It's pretty cool, huh? I think about my mom, you know, she passed away in 2017, and I hope she hears that I'm singing to the Lord in the middle of this gross darkness. Amen. Okay, this song is called How Great Is Our God. Okay. All right, here we go. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, when all the earth rejoices, all the earth rejoices, he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Isn't he wonderful? Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will sing, how great is our God. Isn't he awesome? He's the name above all names. He is worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Thank you, Mama, for singing them songs. When I don't know if everybody heard the song before she even come on, Waymaker, and when she was singing that, when that song was playing, the one verse says, you never stop working. And so right now, Lord, I just thank you that you never stop working in us and through us, Lord, to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus, to carry on, Lord. And just, I just thank you so much much personally for myself, Lord, that you know all my faults and all my flaws, and for each one of us, Lord, and we just thank you that you never stop working in us, Lord, and just to draw us closer to you, Lord, in these times of uncertainty, what's happening. You know, we all know there's crazy things happening, but, you know, we just got to be trust you, Lord, and so we just thank you that you never stop working in our hearts, Lord, because like the other song that Mama sang, how great is our God, and you are so great and greatly to be praised today, Lord, and every day, and so we just praise you and worship you in the spirit of truth, Lord, and all glory and honor and praise to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we just thank you, Lord. And if everybody would turn to 2 Timothy, we're going to start there today. And also want everybody asked to pray for our neighbors up the street, Calvin and Carolyn. They've both got the flu, and you know they're elderly people, Lord. So we just like to lift them up in prayer. They're very precious to us, and we try and help them out as much as we can. And this morning when I was outside checking on our goat Jill, who's supposed to be having kids here any day, we can see them and they're kicking around in there. But anyway, I heard a ambulance, and so I quick ran to the driveway and looked up the hill, and there was an ambulance there in their driveway. So I went up there. They're both suffering with the flu, on medication and this and that. So Lord, we just lift up Calvin and Caroline today, Lord, and ask that you would bless them and heal them and draw them closer to you, Lord. And we just pray blessings over them for restoration, Lord. And I pray for strength also, because I know they're very weary. And Lord, so we just ask for strength for them today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And our main verse today is going to be verse 4. But I'm going to start with verse 1 and read down. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. So we just thank you, Lord, for that grace today, Lord. All the blessings that you bestow upon us that we're not entitled to, Lord. And we just thank you for your grace, Lord. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, has raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Amen. Woo. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, but anyway, I want to jump into this. Go back up to verse 4. No man that warrant entangle himself with the affairs of this life. You know, we can't be entangled with the affairs of this life. You know, we can't let all the things that we see going on in the world, you know, get us entangled. We can't let them bring us down and get sidetracked by all the things going on, you know, in the world, you know. And here, you know, because Jesus, in verse 3, he's calling us to be a good soldier. So we can't get entangled like a civilian, you know, in the civilian pursuits, you know, because we're to aim to please the Lord, you know, because he's chosen, you know, it says here that he may please him, you know, the Lord who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. You know, he's chosen each one of us to be good soldiers. You know, and that reminds me of Ephesians 6, and we're not going to go there, but I think the last couple of weeks we've really been talking and pressing, you know, Ephesians 6, you know, about putting on the full armor of God. You know, to be, you know, because we need all the armor of God to be a good soldier. So we need to really stand on Ephesians 6 and, you know, because what? Verse 3, therefore endure hardness. A lot of us are enduring hard times, whatever they may be. It could be spiritual. It could be physical, right? You know, we're all human, but we don't fight like humans. Though we live in this world, we don't, you know, we don't fight our battle the way people of this world do. We don't wage war in the flesh. You know, we refuse to answer, you know, your critics according to the flesh, people who are coming against us, you know, whoever it may be. Because, you know, Paul here and Timothy, they had a lot of people, you know, the religious people, they were coming against him, you know. So we don't fight our critics, you might say, according to the flesh. You know, and that reminds me of the word meekness. You know, we have to be self-controlled, self-control with power. You know, it's like a wild stallion. Look at the power of that wild stallion. But when you bridle him, he's under control. So we have to have control. We all have to work on that. You know, our power, the main power that we have is the love. You know, God is love. There's so many scriptures about love. You know, God's word. The word of God, that's our power to fight. Amen. But let's turn to, we're going to come back to 2 Timothy, but I want to turn to 2 Corinthians quick here, chapter 10. You know, Paul speaks about spiritual, you know, this whole chapter is about spiritual authority. Okay? And here we'll start at verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent am bold toward you. And there's that word meekness, you know, power under control. But that word beseech, you know, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you. That means he's urgently requesting, you know, he's pleading with them. You know, by meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you. He's lowly. He's saying, you know, we got to be a humble, but being absent and bold towards you. Bold as a lion. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not fleshly, but through praise and worship and through prayer and God's word is how we're going to be pulling down them strongholds, whatever they may be. And the list is pretty long, you know. And through that, through prayer and worship, and, you know, it's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the weapon of our warfare is not in the flesh. You know, it's prayer, it's worship, it's God's word. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to go to verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, this is kind of a metaphor of athletes striving to win, you know, and having that victory, you know, and to be labeled that winner, you know, to get the trophy. You know, we all need to strive like that to our trophy, but it's not fleshly. Our, you know, Paul's warning us against taking shortcuts, you might say. Or as Paul has been through much difficulties, you know, we can't take, you know, even in our difficulties, we can't take shortcuts. You know, we can't, you know, maybe being tempted to avoid hardships. You know, we're all going to go through these hardships over and over throughout scriptures. It talks about the hardships. Endure, it says. Endure over and over. It's not like most of the churches today, you know, oh, you know, we're going to get out of this. You know, we're okay. No. If you're a true soldier of Christ, you're going to be going through hardships. You're going to have to stand up, you know, on your faith. You know, there's no compromising the gospel. You know. And when it says striving lawfully, you know, that means according to God's word, according to the rules, you might say, that athletes, you know. You know, we can't bend the rules to win that trophy. You know, we have to play according to the word. Amen. Verse 6, the husband, man, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You know, we have to persevere in these hardships ahead of us. You know, and be reminded that there is a reward for those who are faithful in their service. As what? As a soldier. This is talking about, you know, kind of like a farmer, the husbandman, you know, he laboreth, but he'll be partaker of his fruits, of the harvest. You know, that reminds me of, let's see if I can turn there quick. Oh, where is that? I don't know if I can. Oh, let me think here. It's Romans 1. I don't have that page marked. It's going to take me a minute to get there. Romans 1, that's Romans 12, 1. Romans 12. Romans 12, 1. I beseech, there's that word again, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. You know, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, you know, by God's word. You know, the theme, and it's here, let me go back to 2 Timothy here. In verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know, we have to consider what God's word says. You know, like Paul's talking to Timothy, he's saying, consider what I say. You know, ponder, okay, what's going on here? And so, Lord, we just thank you right now that you would give us understanding in all things, especially your word, that we can understand it, that we can be good soldiers of Christ. Amen. And as the verse 10 says, therefore, endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And we look at that word, those words, eternal glory. You know, and when I was reading that, and I thought, wow, you know, we have to look to eternity, you know, not entangle ourselves in all this stuff going on in the world. Not getting confused by all this stuff out there. Even though we have to expose it, we need to listen to the watchmen, we need to be aware. But don't get confused in all that in your mind of what's out there, what's going on. You know, we need to look to our eternity, you know. And when I was thinking about that, I looked up a bunch of scriptures on eternity. And we're not going to go to them, but, you know, I mean, Ecclesiastes 3:11, Romans 6:23, Revelation 21:1-3, Revelation 22:5, 1 John 1:25, John 1:1, and there's many more scriptures that talk how we're supposed to look to eternity, you know. Fight our good fight. You know, John 3:16. Just off the cuff. I mean, I'm going to turn there quick. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Everlasting life. And in this verse, I highlight it, you know, that whosoever, you know, we can just put our name in there, that whosoever. You know, when we see all the evil, the darkness of this world, but in the light of eternity, you know, we need to really ponder this, eh? In the light of eternity, in the light of everlasting life. Amen. That word life, it's Zoe. There's life. It's the life of Jesus in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's go to Matthew quick. Let's see here. Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. You know, and this is, and I want to turn to verse 44, Matthew 13, verse 44. And this is about the parable of the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath to buy that field. You know, this signifies that the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field. It's so valuable that when someone discovers it, they would readily sell everything they own to acquire the field containing it. It's illustrating that the value of God's kingdom surpasses all earthly possessions. And this should be it should be our priority above all else. You know, essentially it means that finding God's kingdom is worth making any sacrifice for. Amen. Looking to eternity. You know, spiritually this could signify that when someone truly discovers the value of God's kingdom, they're willing to let go of everything else in their life to fully embrace, you know, his kingdom. That looking forward to glory, to the heavens, eternity. Amen. You know, and then the next verse, next two verses, the parable of the pearl and the great price. Again, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the merchant man seeking godly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he's talking about looking, you know, the kingdom of heaven. Selling everything you got, man. You know, because he found, wow, the kingdom of heaven. He's looking to that. You know, if you're born again, spirit-filled Christian, you know, you found a great treasure. Verse 47, this is the parable of the net.
Amen.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to a shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. You know, we're finding the good, casting out the bad. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know? So we have to have our focus on eternity, on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So, going back to the 2 Timothy, you know, the theme here in the first four verses is you know, instructions to Timothy with a view of the coming hardships. Also, maybe a warning against having divided loyalties. Who are you loyal to? Is the question we all have to ask ourselves. Where is our loyalty? And to whom? I don't know if that strikes home with some people. But you know, we have men that want us to be loyal to them. Loyal to things of this world. No, our loyalty is to the Holy One, to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. You know, as committed Christians, you know, we don't have the privilege of getting too involved or intertwined with the matters that are relatively unimportant in the light of eternity. You know, and that takes us to John 3:16 again, and many other scriptures. You know, the affairs of this life, worldly things, worldly possessions, you know, being too materialistic. You know, the natural possessions, you know, they shouldn't mean too much to us. You know, we can't let these things become so ingrained in our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our emotions. You know, we can't let them be so, we can't get them so ingrained that they become the central focus in our lives. We have to look to eternity. We have to be good soldiers. Amen. You know, you know, we do not want to become so ensnared, entangled, caught up with the things of this world that we become too meshed together with them. And when I was writing this down in my notes, I thought, wow. We don't want to become too meshed together with them. And that word together And I don't know if some of you that follow us, and we, and there's an agenda out there to get her together. And I just had to say this, to get her what? To get her the church. Many, many scriptures that describe the church as her. You know, Bible verses about a woman as a symbol of the church. Galatians 4, 26, 21 through 27. Ephesians 5, 23 through 30. And that one's the mystical bride of Christ, the remnant. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Revelation 21, 2. Those are scriptures about the church, you know, symbolizing as a her or a woman. You know, for the most, the role of a woman in the Bible, that is, of a wife, she is a compared to, supports her husband. Genesis 2:18. Anyway, when I was reading this writing, this come to me, and so, you know, there's the things of this world are out to get us, out to get her, the church, to draw us into the ways of this world, to help it, you know, trying to make us worry and be anxious, no, all wrapped up and entangled in the things of this world. But no, we're not to get entangled there. Right? Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. What are we to do? Hebrews 2. Hebrews 12. And I think we talked about this scripture last week. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay us aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, it says here, to lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. It's like a snare. What's grabbing hold of you? Holding you and dragging you into the things that the worries and cares of this world. No, we're to run with patience. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, people are trying to shame us. Those that seek the truth and are boldly declaring the truth, they're trying to shame us down and, you know, run us down. No. You know, we are to what? You know, look to the joy that was set before him. You know, look to eternity. Endure our, you know, things out of this world that are trying to drag us down. Jesus endured the cross because he knew what was before him. He knew his Heavenly Father. You know, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, over and over again, we've been talking about having a sober mind. You know, your soul, your mind, you know, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You can't let the things of this world and the cares of this world create an emotion that you can't control. Those emotions will go into your mind, and it's your the will, what you do with those emotions. You have a free will. That's why we have to be built up in our most holy faith, trusting in Jesus to get us through. A good soldier, amen. Go down to verse 7. If ye endure chastening, you know, by his word, God dealeth with you as your with sons. For that, what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Discipline. We have to be disciplined. You know, verses 3 through 11 is about discipline. Amen. And then verses 12 through 28 is about warring against disobedience. You know, we have to be obedient to God's word as a good soldier in Christ. You know, it's not easy. You know, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, with that which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We can't let, you know, the troubles of this world that are springing up all around us, we can't let them defile us. Amen. And then if you get into Hebrews chapter 13, it's about service well-pleasing to God. And I'm not going to read all that. But, you know, there was a, what verse was it? Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. But you can read that. It's about service well-pleasing to God. You know, we seek the one to come, Jesus. He's coming again and soon. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24. Through 27, it's about the crown incorruptible. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You know, there's a whole, the whole world is running a race. Christians are running a race. But it's kind of like that athlete again. There's a whole group of us running, but only one will receive the prize. You know, the only one will obtain it. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and incorruptible. You know, our race is spiritual. You know, it's not a crown corruptible, you know, materialistic. Only a child of the Most High God through Jesus Christ can win a crown incorruptible. Amen. That's our prize. Hallelujah. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. No, we have to, you know, we have to do that word meekness rises up and give me self-control and power. Discipline. I keep under, there is that discipline, my body, and bring it to subjection under control. That's by that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, we have to be strong in the Lord, so what we preach, we can stand on. We're going to be an example, I guess. That's how I'm seeing this right at the moment. Amen. But that's where we're getting the crown incorruptible. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Second Timothy 4, verses 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There it is. But watch. You know, be aware. In all things, endure afflictions. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, Paul's talking about, you know, he knows his time is short. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Woo! Amen. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, thy righteous judge, shall give me at the day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There it is. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord, right now, Lord, that we just love you so much, Lord. We just can't wait for your second coming. We just can't wait to see you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for each person here today, Lord, that hearing this message, Lord, that they love you with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. That we just look forward to your appearing, Lord. You know, we just can't wait to see you. That thinking about this, Lord, just builds us up, gives us strength to endure all the things that we see coming, Lord. This is the crown of righteousness. You know, to be right standing with you, Lord. Amen. We just praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for the crown of righteousness. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Now I just want to read just a few verses here. And I think I read some of this. Was it last week or the week before? Again. And this is Paul talking the elders, you know, the pastors, the leaders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God among which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. Yes, thank you, Father. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I think we talked about that word vigilant last week. Being alert, watchful, careful to notice, especially the dangers around us. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, there's many of us going through, brothers and sisters in Christ, are going through afflictions. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This crown of glory is a special reward for the faithful, obedient, God-called pastor, leader. He will receive a reward when the chief shepherd shall appear. It is eternal. It fadeth not away. You know, every believer may share in a pastor's crown of glory. Did you hear that? Every believer may share in the pastor's crown of glory. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Matthew 10:41. So support your faithful God-called pastor by praying for him and encouraging him in work of the Lord. Undergird his ministry with God's tithes and your offerings. Malachi 3:10. Giving freely of your time to the service of the Lord, and God will reward you. He will reward you for supporting his chosen servants by allowing you to share in the pastor's reward. The pastor will earn his crown of glory. Amen. So we're not to love this present world. You know, we're to look to the Lord. I just want to, this is, let me look here. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4. And I want to read Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, all with an open face beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we're all being changed every day. And when we stand on the Word and we're strong soldiers in Christ, you know, we go from glory to glory. We go through one affliction and we get through it with the Lord's help. And then we go through another. This is going from glory to glory. Amen. You know, don't love this present world. You know, we're going from glory to glory. Amen. I guess that's what I have for today, you know, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Run this race, you know, with the Lord on our side. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank You right now that as we stand on Your Word and we trust in You, Lord, to get us through the trials and tribulations that we're going through, Lord, that we can run this race as a good soldier of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
So we just thank You and we praise You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And
can you hear me, Pastor?
Yes, I can.
Hallelujah, it's working. Okay, go ahead, and then I'll talk when you're done.
Okay, I just want to thank everybody for their prayers, their support, you know, their gifts, you know, their donations and all that. We just, you know, we can't do it without you guys. And so, and I want to give a special thanks out for people that send me teas. I'm drinking a cup of it's just something little, but I really greatly appreciate it. Someone sent us a while back, it's a sample box of teas, and this morning I'm drinking it's called rhubarb tea, infused rhubarb tea, and it's really tasty. I really like it, so I just want to thank you for that. I can't remember who sent it to me. It's been a while back, but it's some really good tea, and we appreciate that. So thank you, everybody, for their, again, prayers and support and gifts. And I want to also thank all the people that are in the college with Mama June. And it's just we're hearing such great testimonies, how it's building people up in their most holy faith. And they're getting rid of a lot of baggage, you know, which we all need to get rid of baggage, and it strengthens us and brings us up to be what? Soldiers in Christ. So I just want to thank everybody for participating in that, and encourage each, you know, people to sign up for her next classes. And so thank you for that. It's all yours now, Mom.
Well, thank you so much for encouraging us this whole past month, really, about being a soldier, because we are in a very real war. I know a lot of us, through our research and stuff, have really discovered, you know, a lot of the plans, the enemy's plans and stuff. So it's really wonderful for us to take this time together around the Lord, you know, and to allow Him to equip us and to, you know, clean our hearts, because that's what's going to take. That is what it's going to take to go forward, you know. And so I'm in the same idea that Pastor is, you know, to thank you guys, you know, for being a part of everything with us, being with us through the thick and the thin, and all the things that we have been through, you know, over the past with ministry and everything. We really do appreciate you guys, you know, for having grace and mercy with us and being with us through all that. So if y'all don't mind, because I got disconnected earlier, I really do want to sing to the Lord, and I'm going to do it now. So I want to sing What a Day That Will Be Full. Okay, let's go ahead. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. I've got the words on the screen so y'all can sing with me. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burden to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. But forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day there will be. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see, when we look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day there will be. Oh, what a day there will be when my Jesus I shall see, as I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. All right, now listen, before we get off here, I want to declare something over you guys. Let me find it. I've got a prayer that I am going to pray over you guys. And I want you to save this recording because this will be up on the website. And I want you to declare this over yourself as often as you can think about it. Okay, so here we go. Father, this is who my Father God says I am. Father, I thank you that I am your son and daughter, for I have received the spirit of adoption and I am accepted in the beloved. For you heard my cry and brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. You have formed my inward parts and have covered me in my mother's womb. I was rejected by men, but I am precious in your sight. Your thoughts towards me are of peace and not of evil, to give me a future and a hope. Your Son, Jesus Christ, has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having become a curse for me. I have been redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, calamity, condemnation, and poverty. I am an heir to all the blessings of Abraham. Bam. I stand righteous before you because Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death and alive unto righteousness. Sin shall not have dominion over me because I am not under the law, but under grace. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. For I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that beautiful? I will be anxious for nothing, for my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The fruit of the Spirit dwells in me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I am more than a conqueror. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. For my citizenship is in heaven. I am just passing through. Isn't that beautiful? Goes right along with Pastor's sermon. Sure does. We cannot get so entangled in the world that we lose our soul. That's what he's saying. Because, now this is just my interjection in it, but as all of the propaganda gets worse to suck people in through all the rabbit trails by bringing everybody all these mysteries that are unfolding. It's to keep everybody in the rabbit trail. But our citizenship is not here on the earth. In the meantime, I will live by faith and not by sight. I will bring my thoughts in line with God's word. I will not despise small beginnings, for I will learn line upon line, precept upon precept, and I will go from faith to faith and glory to glory. I will fight the good fight of faith. I am a king and a priest, destined to rule and reign in this life. And I have been given authority over all the works of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. Let's declare that. Nothing by any means shall harm me or my house or my possessions or my kids in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And my God will restore to me all the years that the enemy has stolen. I can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For I have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. I will build. I will build myself up on my most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, which will keep me in the love of God. Thank you, Father God, that you go before us and make straight every crooked path. I just want to pause here and kind of share a story. You know, the Lord revealed to me what that means. Okay, you take two sisters. One of them is in and out, but she's not really in church because she's really more in the world than she is in church. Then you take another one who is, you know, right and legit with God. Okay, but they both make mistakes and do something crazy. Okay, now here's the difference. Because the one that has their foot more in the world puts their trust in the God of the world, that is who is going to be their solution to the problem, because that's where they're giving their love. But the one that gives God their love and puts him first, he makes their crooked path straight. And what that means is like when we go and repent, God forgive me, I went partying last night, you know, help me, Lord, to overcome alcohol or like whatever battle it is. So you made the mistake, you went out to a club, everybody saw you there, you're so embarrassed, they know you're preaching, yada, yada, and yet you're still out there in the world, right? But you go to God, you repent, and in your heart, you have it set, you're not doing that again. God will make that crooked path straight in your life. You know why? Because your heart is like David. Your heart is after God. Even though you fall, you pick yourself back up. You humble yourself before a holy God and you repent. That's a soldier. That is a soldier. A soldier keeps their heart soft before God in repentance. That's the difference. Because the other ones that are prideful, they never repent. They consider, you know, what they want is more powerful than God's opinion about it. So when you humble yourself and you ask God, Lord, I repent, forgive me for going out and doing that, I need your help to overcome this. So then God will make that crooked path straight and your consequences to the sin will not be as bad as someone who does not have God and they're thrown to the wolves. There is a difference. When I used to live in the world and I knew I was halfway in and halfway out of church and, you know, I didn't have really a good standing because I knew that I was still steaming out in the world. You lose that protection of God because of your sin. This is why we've got to, you know, keep our hearts soft before God and ask him to continually change us. Ain't none of us perfect, of course. But when we keep our hearts soft, it allows God to be able to help you. You know, like you hear so many prophecies right now from people about the judgment, and they say, you know, God says that whatever idol you have right now, when this thing goes down, you're going to have that idol to lean on. God's not going to help you. You know, a lot of them are saying that, but it's where people are choosing God. So when you have him as your God, he will make your crooked path straight. He will help you to fix your messes, in other words. Final paragraph. Thank you, Father God, that you go before me and make straight every crooked path. My steps are ordered of you, and my thoughts are established by you. I am an ambassador for Christ, imploring others to be reconciled to God through faith in the finished work of Jesus. I will hold fast to what I have, that no man may take my crown. Boy, that's a big one right now, isn't it? You will make me a pillar in your temple, and I will hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, for now enter into the joy of the world, joy of the Lord. I would probably change that last sentence. I probably wouldn't be as like that, I will hear you say. What I would say is, and I pray, Lord, that I get to hear you say, you know, and leave it up to Him, saying, "You will do what I say, God." You know, dominionism, that's, I can only go so far with dominionism. I do believe that God has called us to take dominion, but I just don't believe we can override God, if y'all know what I mean. So I can't sit here and tell God, "You're going to tell me, well done." You know, that's the way I feel this. I don't know who made this thing, but I feel like that's what they're saying. So I would probably change that sentence and say, "I pray through your will and your grace that you will make me a pillar in your temple, and that I would hear the words, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy of your Lord.'" You know, type of deal. But this is a good reminder of, you know, who we are and keeping our tongue in alignment with heaven. And we're declaring over ourselves, over our families, you know, don't come in agreement with the enemy about your children when the enemy's using your children, because we know he is with most of our kids. Because they're young, they don't want to see what's in front of them, they don't want to recognize this at the end of days, they still want to have a family and have their hopes and dreams like we did, you know. But we don't come in agreement with what he is doing in their life. You know, we pray for them and we come in agreement with heaven. Lord, I thank you that, so let's just pray right now over children. Lord, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus over our children. And Lord, we are in agreement with heaven that our children are what you called them to be. That's what we're in agreement with, is what your will is for their life, Lord. I am shutting the enemy up, the mouth of the enemy right now over our children. And we are declaring into the atmosphere that you will not take our children any further in Jesus' name. We pull down every stronghold and break every yoke in the name of Jesus. We pull down every lying devil that is lying to them. And we just thank you, Lord, because we bind that spirit and we lose the salvation of the Lord. We lose their freedom and destiny in the name of Jesus. We stand up against every demon from hell and every spell, incantation, and curse spoken over them and say, "Stop in the name of Jesus." We don't receive your accusations against our children. We don't receive any of that. We tell all that you got to cease in the name of Jesus. We pull it down. We're their guard. We're their protector in the spirit. And we are standing on behalf of our children, and we are holding the enemy back and saying, "No, we refuse for you to advance anymore." So right now, God, we ask you to forgive us for any negative thing we have said about our children that has given the enemy an open door. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to forgive us, Lord. We are in agreement with heaven. We are in agreement with their deliverance, with their healing, with their advancement, and with them being what you have called them to be, Lord, healing them, delivering them, casting the devils out of them, setting them free. We thank you, Lord, that you love our children more than we do, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we will not go by what our eyes see. We will go by what we know that is your will, is that our children will be what you have called them to be, that they are the mighty men and women of God that you designed before time began. And that's what we're in agreement for this morning. And we refuse to let the enemy take another inch. We thank you, Lord, for sending angels to fight the battles over our children, in the name of Jesus, with big swords. And we pray, Lord, that they will have freedom from this warfare that's happening over them, so that they can see their need for you, Lord. Let them remember when they got saved when they was a kid, when they was on fire for God when they was a kid, Lord. Let them remember the goodness of the Lord in their life, Lord. And God, we pray peace in their hearts, peace in their minds, Lord, peace in their homes. Lord, we pray you would set them free from everything that so easily holds them back from being what you have called them to be, Lord. And for all of us that are parents, I pray, God, you help us to be the kind of parent they need. Help us to love them, each child differently, according to the way that you designed them. Help us to love them where they will understand it. Help us, Lord, to refrain from pressuring them or from trying to put them in a box or trying to warn them so much that we run them off, Lord. Help us to have restraint. Help us to show peace and love and joy around our children and not be a collapsing because of all the stuff we know. Help us to be the strong ones, Lord, that they will see parents that are walking in peace, even though they see all this happening, even though they know all that they know. But the kids look at us and they see peace, peace like a river. And they want what we have. Not seeing parents that are all stressed out and scared and warning everybody because it's about to collapse, but that they see us singing to the Lord and praising you, Lord, in the midst of the storm. We thank you, Lord, that we are made victorious today in the name of Jesus, that we are more than conquerors, Lord. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath, Lord. We are kings and priests in the kingdom, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you know all this. You know everything we're facing. So you are who we trust, Lord. We don't trust ourselves. We don't trust our kids. We trust in you. And that's what we're doing today. We are trusting in our most holy trust, and that is in you, Lord. When we hand you our burdens, when we hand you our children, we hand you our spouses, our parents, everybody around us that we love, Lord, we give them to you today. You are the peace solver, the peace giver. So we thank you and worship you, Lord, that on this day, February the 2nd, that we walk in a peace with our children, that we know, Lord, that we have you that we lean upon with our children and our spouses, our family, our parents, Lord, because you are a very real God. You are a very real, tangible God that we can trust in and have relationship with and know that you are in control, Lord. We don't listen to the devil. We don't trust the devil. We don't believe the devil who is lying and screaming at the door. No, we put our faith and trust in that still small voice that we have on the inside of us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that though the storms rage and though the wolf blows at the door, that you are there with us, Lord. You have not left us and forsaken us, Lord. And that you have called us for such a time as this. And I thank you, Lord, that our ears are here to hear what you have to say to us. That our ears hear you. That's what you say for the last days. Let your ears hear, my children. Let them hear what I'm saying unto you, and that's what we're asking you for today, that our ears would hear what you are saying unto us, Lord. So, Lord, I bless every one of our church people, Lord. Bless them. Bless their homes. We come against discouragement. We come against despair. We come against depression and oppression. We pull down every stronghold. We tell that devil right now in the name of Jesus, I am not depressed. I don't accept that lie. I am not. I don't accept your lies. You know, and we speak to that thing. We tell it, you go in the name of Jesus. You get out of my house. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who gives me strength. He has went before me and prepared the way. He knows what I'm going through, and he knows where I'm going. He knows how to get me there. And I put my faith and trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Bride, I'm going to tell you. Dennis and I, we get a lot of emails and stuff, you know, from people that are going through some very serious things. Very serious. Let me stop the recording, and I want to tell you guys something. So for the rest of you guys that are listening to this later, I love you and God bless you. Have a good day.